Fire. Did you know that in the last year, measuring from January 2016 to today, there have been quite a number of forest fires and quite a number of acres burned. In 2016, just up to the end of September, 45,121 fires. Acres, over almost 5 million acres covered. And in the last 10 years, you have an annual average of almost 59,000 fires per year and right around 6 million acres burned up per year in the last 10 years. And this resource from the U about Firestar. How do these fires start? What happens? If you look at the U.S. Department of Interior, they say as many as 90% of wildland fires in the United States are caused by humans. Some human-caused fires result from campfires left unattended, the burning of debris, negligently discarding of cigarettes, like in the video, and intentional acts of arson. So those are usually the causes of these fires. But millions of acres caused by just a spark. And so today, we want to come to James chapter 3. And we want to consider what James has to say as we think about the tongue. Last week, we started into his teaching on the tongue. This week, we're going to continue in James chapter 3, starting in verse 5 and going through verse 12. And we want to discover our need here. And the need is this, brothers and sisters, that we have a tongue that has a depraved nature and results in depraved activity. It's a sinful nature in the tongue, and it's a sinful activity that it plays and dabbles in. And we want, as we get into what James says, and it's pretty heavy what he says today, we want to let the heaviness of what he says cause something within us that cries out and wants a new tongue, a revival of the tongue, a revival of our words, regenerate words, new words, living, encouraging words. And so we're going to look at the depraved nature and activity of the human tongue, and hopefully by the Spirit's help, we'll let that teaching on the depravity of the tongue in James 3 spark a desire for new words, for living words, for regenerate words. James has talked about regenerate religion. He's talked about regenerate faith. And then today, he's going to go further in what does a regenerate tongue or mouth look like? So he's got this idea of the new birth all through his letter. What does it look like to be a new creation? What does it look like to be a person who's been born again by the gospel? And so we want a spark. We want today to be a spark, just like a spark for damage, as we saw in the film clip. We want a spark for good as we get into the word today. Something that sparks that I start to think differently about my tongue. And we're going to need James' help for that. So let's look into the scriptures. You have the notes in your bulletin. We're going to look at three. We're going to hope to trade three things today. We want to trade hell-sparked catastrophe for heaven-sent conversation. And we want to trade our old tongue for a new tongue. And to do that, the last point, we're going to have to trade an old heart for a new heart. And so we want to look at these things in James chapter 3. So travel with me there if you haven't already, and let's read the scriptures. The word says, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So the first thing we want to see today is we want to look at the verses 5 and 6, and we want to trade hell's spark for heaven's spark. Isn't that a beautiful image? Think about that. Artistically portrayed, what the mouth can do, the damage that it can do, the tongue on fire. Look at the scriptures. He says, how great, there's an interjection here, how great, you see the exclamation point, a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. We looked at this last week in the passage where it talked about how just that little bit in the horse's mouth can move that huge body wherever the rider wants it to go. Just that little bit. And then the rudder on the boat, remember. Just that helmsman with a little handle can move that huge ship against great winds wherever he wants it to go. And so he's continuing on from last week's passage, and he's kind of concluding it and transitioning, and he's saying, how great a forest is set afire by such a small fire. Just a spark can set millions of acres on fire. Just a spark. Just a cigarette in the dry leaves. Just a smoldering coal that gets pushed into some pine needles can set the whole thing ablaze. And so he goes on and he says, in the tongue, and he connects it to the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. So he's describing the tongue here, that it's just like a fire. You think of the acreage. Have you ever seen a picture of a forest after the fire has gone through? And if we were to watch the rest of the video, you would see that image. Just bare trees, stubby branches, no leaves, wildlife hidden or escaped or dead. Just runs through and just causes destruction, catastrophe. It's a whole world of unrighteousness, what the tongue can do, what it can accomplish for evil. He goes on and he continues to describe it, and he says, the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. So he says it's set, and the word here is it's appointed in the body. It's set in such a place in the body that it has this effect on the whole body. And notice he says it stains it. You know, you can do, think of the power of a word misspoken and what it does to a reputation, what it does to a life, what it can do to a family. What it can do to a career. You know, it's just heavy. It can stain the whole thing. It has that much influence. Just like those images, just like a spark, just like a rudder, just like a bit in a horse's mouth. Just a little thing, and it has this all-encompassing, swallowing effect. And it can stain the whole body. It can stain a church body. But this specifically is talking about an individual. But I think that's an interesting application. That what are the words of West Lisbon in our community? How are our words viewed? Are we people who use the tongue for life and giving life and pointing to Jesus and calling out sin, or do we use our words for evil, to tear down, cause chaos? All right. And so the words of a person has this staining effect on the whole body. And notice what he said. It sets on fire the entire course of life. Now this phrase, the course of life, it's kind of like the whole body of work of your life, all the seasons, all the connections. If you think of your life like a tree, you know, you got the line running from ground to sky, and you've got all these branches reaching out to experiences and people, and it just a matter. Just imagine a fire catching that tree and just burning the whole thing up, and the inside out, just everything annihilates it. The whole course of life set ablaze by what? By the tongue. And we know this. Search inside. Have you ever said something to somebody, and you know how deeply it wounded them? You know. You also know that your words can give life. Think of when you've said something to someone, confessed something that restored a relationship, you know, whatever, and it just sparked not destruction, but life, you see. So the tongue has this, it's this little thing, this little spark, but it can have effect on so much more around you. The entire course of life. And notice what it says. It says, and set on fire by hell. The word there for hell, there's a couple words in the New Testament for hell. This one is Gehenna. And Gehenna reminds us of a garbage dump that is continually burning. It never stops burning. It's always on fire. And the things there that are on fire are not pleasant things. And so James is taking us deeper. He's describing what the tongue is like, and then he goes into, it's set on fire by hell, and he's kind of pushing us into the origin of it. And remember, what is it that led our first parents into sin? Words of deceit. Words that tricked. Words that led them away from faith in God and to disbelieve what God had said. It was words. Satan didn't twist their arm, did he? He didn't put them in prison and then say, you're going to do this or else. He just spoke, and he set the whole creation on fire. And so the origin, we see he's taking us deep, you see. He's taking us into the origination of this spark that the tongue can set to cause the whole course of life to be aflame. It comes from hell. Call it what it is. And so, we want to trade that. Listen, we want to trade that hellish spark for a heavenly spark, don't we? Isn't that what we want? We want words that spark life, that spark regeneration, that spark this new creation experience that the New Testament talks about. We want to be people who speak truth and love and mercy and grace into the lives of those around us and spark life. Amen? And so James is saying, look, this is the potential of the tongue. This is the evil influence that it can have. Or you can submit to the Holy Spirit and let it have life-producing results. You see. And let's be mindful. This isn't the first time he's brought up the tongue. Go back with me to chapter 1. Remember this. In chapter 1, he kind of introduces all the things he wants to talk about, and then throughout the book, he comes back to them. In chapter 1, verse 19, notice what he says. He says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So there's a reference there to our words. He's probably thinking, in James' context, the damage that angry words is causing. When we get into chapter 4, we're going to see there's a lot of quarreling going on, a lot of angry words resulting in angry actions. And so he's returning to this theme of the angry words, and he's saying, look at what the damage is from these angry words in your congregation. It's setting you all on fire. And this is not, listen, this is not the type of speaking that comes from someone who has the implanted word, the new birth, the gospel in your heart, planted in and then giving fruit into life, you see. So come back with me to James 3. And we want to move into verse 7. And we want to do another thing. We want to trade hell's tongue for heaven's tongue. We want to trade hell's spark for heaven's, but we want to spark life, multiplying life, not multiplying destruction with our words. And we want to, so what do we got to do? We got to trade tongues. You got to trade tongues. You got to want a new tongue. The old tongue, no good. It's not going to accomplish what you want. The tongue that goes with the old life and the old nature, it's not going to do what you need. It's not going to accomplish the results that you want in your family, in your friendships, in your work, in your church. It's not able to do it. You need a new tongue. And so that's what he emphasizes in verse 7. He says, look, he explains. The word for in the scriptures, he's always explaining what he said when he uses the word for. Very important word. He says, for every kind of beast. Why is it so hellish? For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Number one, it's untamable. Everything else in creation can be tamed. You can put a whale at SeaWorld. A whale, y'all. You can put an elephant in a zoo. There are people who walk into cages with lions. But you can't tame the tongue. It's untamable. The old tongue can't be harnessed, it can't be ridden, it can't be used to give life. You need a new one. You can't reform the old one. You can't put lipstick on and make it look better. You need a completely new tongue. He goes on. That's the first reason it's untamable. He says in verse 8 that no human being can tame the tongue. You can't saddle it. Secondly, he says it's poisonous. It's untamable. Why do you need a new tongue? It's untamable and it's poisonous. The old one's poisonous. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. It never sleeps. You see, when I was reading this and I was translating through it, the thing that came to mind is an addict. The tongue is addicted. The old tongue is addicted to causing fire. An addict, you don't trust an addict in your home. The addict has weird behavior that's abnormal to life producing. The addict lives for its next fix. And that's the old tongue. It just lives to set that spark off that destroys. It's poisonous. The word, the deadly poison, it's death-dealing poison. It's like a serpent. It bites and it injects that poison into your veins, into your bloodstream, and it spreads and it can cause you to die. That's what the old tongue is like. Death-dealing poison. It's untamable. It is poisonous. And then the last thing he says about it is it's duplicitous. That's a word that means it's double-minded, it's double-hearted. It says one thing and does another. Or it says this and then it does that. It's duplicitous. It's deceitful. Look at what he says, how he describes it. He says, with it, look at this. With it, we bless our Lord and Father. You know, we just said the Lord's Prayer today. Didn't we? Yeah, we did that. We bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. With the same mouth, Jesus said in the Gospels, we will be held accountable for every word that is spoken. Every careless word that is spoken, we will be held accountable. With the same mouth, we will say, God, I love you, and I love my neighbor as myself. And with the same mouth, we will curse. And spite and slander our neighbor. the same mouth. That's, listen, it's untamable, it is poisonous, and it is duplicitous. You need a new tongue. Brand new. New creation. Look with me at Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Listen to the words there. Proverbs 18:21 in the ESV, it reads, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." You love death? Well, you're going to have the fruit of death with your tongue. You love life? Maybe you have the fruit of life with your tongue. But listen, the influence, the power of the tongue, death and life are in its grasp. We bless God with the tongue, and then in the same breath, we curse our brother or our sister or our neighbor. It's duplicitous. It's poisonous. It's untamable. So we got to trade, y'all. We have to trade the old tongue. We have to want a new tongue. And listen, why is God able to give you a new tongue? Is that possible? I mean, here's pastor up here, and he's saying, you need a new tongue. Well, how does that work? Where do you get a new tongue? Is there a store, you know? Is there a convenience store? You just trade in the old one, put the new one in? You go to the dentist for that? The gospel is the answer. Remember, the gospel is everything. Because in the gospel, we see what must happen. Death must happen. That tongue, that old tongue, has to die. Romans 6. It must be buried and dead. And we know that God is the God who raises things to new life. He can raise that tongue that is dead up to new life in the gospel and give a power over it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what are we talking about? Well, in the spiritual life, what do you need to do? You need to believe the gospel more deeply and that it applies to your whole life. So sometimes we're like, well, you know, send me a self-help book. And those things are helpful. We can learn habits and control factors and little disciplines or reminders. Maybe you got something in your pocket that reminds you to think before you speak or all those things. Those are all helpful things. But listen, a power to really, at the heart of it, change things comes from the gospel and recognizing that death has to happen to sin, and life needs to spring up within you and out into your relationships and out to your words. That's the gospel. The gospel is not something we just believe day one, brothers and sisters, of being a Christian. The gospel is the key to the spiritual life. And believing it and living it and believing and living it day in and day out and practicing the gospel with regard to your tongue. My old tongue needs to die, Lord. I need new birth. I need a new tongue. And so the old tongue, we need a new tongue because the old one is untamable. The old one is poisonous. It deals in deathly poison. And the old tongue is duplicitous. It can say this to that person and this to another person. And he goes on and describes this duplicitous nature. Look at what he says in verse 10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? He's referring to some of the things that he has visually where he is. He's thinking of springs and springs that usually you either have a salt spring or you have a fresh spring. You don't have the same spring producing both. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. It should be one or the other. Your mouth should be trusted as either a source of truth and love, or it can't be trusted as that. Your words people can depend on your words, or they can't. You're gonna speak in anger continually and habitually, or you're gonna speak in gentleness that comes from the Holy Spirit. He's kind of drawing it black and white for us. Now, we know, listen, brothers, we know that there's growth here, right? We grow as we live in Christ, we grow. But he's painting it black and white for us so that we know which direction we ought to be heading. We have to be heading toward a tongue that speaks a gentle, life-giving breath to people around us. Now we want to say this too. We want to trade hell's heart for heaven's heart. And this is really the point. This is the point of the passage. James says nothing encouraging in all seven verses here, does he? Is there anything that's like, oh, that's nice? No, there's nothing in the passage that is, quote, nice. It's all, your tongue is evil, your tongue is from hell, your tongue destroys, your tongue sets a fire, your tongue is untamable, your tongue is poisonous, your tongue can't be trusted, it's duplicitous. There's nothing nice in the passage. And here's what I understand him to be saying, brothers. Let me see your eyes. He's saying, you need something new. He's revealing the depravity of the nature and activity of the tongue so that you will cry out. You see. He will in the next verses, but to this point, he's not giving you a solution. He's just driving you into the recognition of your depravity and your need of God to change you. You see. When Scripture's hard on us, it should force us into a place of repentance and crying out to God and wanting and needing grace and change from God. And that's what he's doing here. He's being very heavy. He's being very hard so that we might cry out to God and repent and recognize what we need. Now, I want to read one passage as we think about trading hell's heart for heaven's heart. We need a new heart, not just a new tongue, but a new heart. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 15. Go there with me. Matthew 15. This question comes up about what defiles a person. What makes a person dirty? What makes a person unclean? Jesus and his disciples, I'll set the stage for you. Jesus and his disciples are walking through and they've been eating some things before they washed their hands. And the religious leaders find out about it and they're like, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, why are your disciples eating without washing their hands? And Jesus fires back, why do you keep traditions instead of keeping what God actually said? Oh. Why do you keep traditions instead of doing what God actually said? He says to them. And he says, look, it's not what goes in to the mouth that defiles a person. It's what comes out. What does that mean? Well, look at what he says. Look at verse 10, Matthew 15. And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. In other words, they'll be offended. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. He said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the what? Heart. And this defiles a person. He explains, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person. So what he's saying is, the problem, you want to get to the root of things? You want to get to the root of sin? You want to get to the root of uncleanness? You want to get to the root of adultery and words that start fires and theft and all these things? Anger, right here. At the core of each of us is a sinful nature. A nature that doesn't just accidentally sin, a nature that loves sin. And so, we want to trade hell's spark for heaven's spark, don't we? We want to trade hell's tongue for heaven's tongue. And we got to go deeper. Because what comes out of the mouth comes from where? Right here. So we need a new heart. Not just a new tongue. We don't need to go see just a spiritual dentist. We need to see a spiritual heart surgeon. We need a new heart. We need it to be a new creation. And so we want to trade that old heart. That old heart. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man is in Christ, behold, he is a new creation. So you want to know, where do you find that new tongue? Where do you find that spark? Where do you find that new heart? You find it in Jesus and his work. That's where you find it. Now, check this out. This is something I spent with my stepfather all day looking at yesterday. This is the serpentine belt path on a 2005 Honda Odyssey van. In the last month, I've spent a lot of time looking at this diagram. First to replace the belt, and then yesterday, I'll tell you the story. My wife was driving. Thankfully, she's very close to home, and I was able to make it home. But she was driving, and all of a sudden, she heard this thud, and she lost her power steering, and she kind of coasted into home. And so I get in there, you know, like, well, what's going on here? Well, I can see the belt's off. The belt's off. Well, that, maybe it's just the belt. And then I look all the way down in that underpinning under the car, and I see this cylinder just laying there. I thought, oh, that can't be. It looks like it's just laying there. Well, that can't be good. And I get under there, and I pull it out. And here's what I found. Pull it out. This is laying in my underpinning. At one point, it was connected to this, which was still attached to the car. You know, it goes in like this right here. You know, this is the pull. This is the crankshaft pulley, the CS pulley you see on the screen. You got the crankshaft pulley. There it is. And you got the air conditioner pulley, the idler pulley, the tension pulley, the alternator, the generating pulley, and then the power steering up the top. That's why she couldn't steer, because the belt came off and she lost all her steering. Okay. Well, so my stepdad and I yesterday were on the hunt, you know, and I actually talked to Dale yesterday about this too. So we got to go. I thought there's no way an auto store is going to have this thing. I mean, they just don't keep, and they did. Advanced Auto Parts in Yorkville had a new crankshaft pulley. It's like, score, yes. And so I bought that, and I brought it home, and I even got this special tool to pull the old one off, which we didn't need, actually. It was for other crankshaft pulleys. We didn't need that for my van. But the key was you had to get this awful bolt off, which is always the problem in cars, right? You always have to get this awful, why did you put this here bolt off? Okay, and that's always the issue. So And I had the fitting for it, you know, the socket fitting to get it off. And then, but we tried this little trick where you crank the starter to try to break the bolt, which is interesting. And instead, it broke my socket, and so it didn't work. And so I had to go buy an impact socket that wouldn't break and try it again. And it did finally work. But there's one other thing I needed, and it was this. Because I could turn that bolt as much as I want, but that wheel is just going to keep on turning with it every time. And so what I had to get was, and I called a couple places, and I was like, do you have this? They're like, psh, I don't have that. But we did go to one place, and the guy knew exactly what I was looking for. It was this. It was a 50-millimeter hex key. Look at that thing. I had to have this. I had to have this, or I couldn't put the new one on. Brothers and sisters, you have to have the gospel. You have to have the key. Or you can't have a new tongue. You have to have the gospel to have a new tongue. Just like I had to have this key to get the new crankshaft pulley on my van. And so James is driving us into the recognition that our old tongue can't be reformed. It has to be resurrected. And the only power on earth or in heaven to resurrect something that is depraved is the gospel. That's it. So let's stand. We want to pray. We want to pray to the Lord this morning. Let's bow our heads. Father, give us a moment of quiet here just to think about our memory is actually really short, Lord, compared to yours. But would you, by your grace, help us to think of words that have been spoken of late? And meet with us. As the music plays, Lord, just meet with us. Bring words to remembrance. And Lord, anything that was untamable, anything that was poisonous, anything that was duplicitous, anything that we would describe as coming straight from hell, give us the courage to confess that to you this morning. And be cleaned. Be washed. And Father, wherever anyone is tonight, today, whether they're a new believer, whether they've been a believer for many, many years, I pray that you would give them that next step of control by your Spirit over their tongue. That you would, instead of their tongue giving death, would you cause their tongue to breathe life into the people around them. And then, Lord, would you close the gap between the duplicitousness of the tongue so that what it says is what it says. It can be trusted and dependable. Help each of us, Lord. If there's somebody here, Father, who does not know the gospel, the key, awaken them today, God. We cry out to you, God. Awaken their soul. It's going to cry out to you for a new life, a new heart, a new tongue, God. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray. It's in His name. Come to you in the name of Christ and by His Spirit. Amen. All right, we want to leave today. We want to leave the old tongue here. Lay it down. Everybody say, lay it down. Lay it down. And we want to go by the power of the cross. Right? Amen? Everybody say, by the power of the cross. And leave here with new tongues. Everybody say, new tongue. Amen.